We'll take our Bibles, please, and turn to Psalm 91. I think you'll remember that this will be a familiar verse of Scripture, someplace that we've been recently, but I'd like to go back to it again. Psalm 91. King James Version says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust." We're back to the secret place, guys. Today, however, we're going to talk about our place of rest, because it's really important for us to be refreshed, to be strengthened, and to be peaceful in the midst of our day-by-day life. For us to be worry-free is really contingent upon our ability to look to God, cast our cares upon Him, and believe that His goodness is at work on our behalf. We can be changed from what we are to what He desires for us to be, and that occurs really only when we spend time in the secret place of His presence. But today, more than talking about going into that secret place, is one of the benefits of being in that secret place, that in our hearts, we're at rest. We're at rest. Amplified version of this verse says, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall remain stable and fixed under the shadow of the Almighty, whose power no foe can withstand. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. On Him I lean and rely, and in Him I confidently trust." So there's three aspects noted here in verses 1 and 2 that are going to help us to receive God's richest blessing. First of all, it says in verse 1 that you must dwell. The word dwell means to remain or to be settled or to continue or to sit down. In other words, you go into this place, you sit there. You remain there. You remain fixed, steadfast, stable. You just don't go in there and, "I got to go now." You know, you stay there because this becomes your foundation of everything that evolves in your life. And it says that he that dwelleth. Look in John 15. Flip over there. Keep your finger in Psalm. John 15. Verse 4, 15, 4 says, "Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except you abide in me." The Amplified Version says, "Dwell in me, and I will dwell in you. Live in me, and I will live in you. Just as no branch can bear fruit of itself without abiding in or being vitally united to the vine, neither can you bear fruit unless you abide in me." To dwell. To remain there, to be settled, just to go in there and sit down. And the second part of it, it says to dwell where? In the secret place of the Most High. The secret place of the Most High, what is that? That's a hiding place. It's a place of protection. It's a place where there's a covering over it so that we will be kept safe from all of our enemies. The word exhorts us to go and dwell in this hiding place where we will be protected. It doesn't sound like a negative thing for us. And really, God has our best interest at heart. He knows. And the third part is to remain under the shadow of the Almighty, that we make God our refuge, our fortress, and we rely only on Him with complete confidence. You see, as you go on in that verse, and you look in verse 3, says, surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers. Under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. A thousand shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. What is this contingent on? Look at verse 1 and 2. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High and dwelleth under the shadow of the Almighty, then these benefits come as a result of being under the protection of the Almighty. Verse 11. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. They shall, thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion, the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Verse 14, and the Amplified says, because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he knows and understands my name, has a personal knowledge of my mercy, my love, my kindness. And he trusts and relies on me, knowing that I will never forsake him. No, never. Verse 15, he shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in time of trouble. I will deliver him, honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him salvation. See, the promise is that when we call, he's going to answer us. He's going to be with us. In any circumstance, in any situation. And that the enemy would love nothing other than to rob you of your peace. He doesn't care how he does it, as long as it gets done. See? A phone call, a this, a that, a conversation, an argument, a whatever. All of a sudden, the peace is gone. And when the peace is gone, the power is gone. Look in Psalm 27. Psalm 27. Psalm 27. There's one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. To behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto God. You know what this is saying? When the pressure's on, when you're feeling stress and pressure and things just don't seem to be fitting together, you have a choice. Look to those circumstances, figure out in your own strength how to solve the problem, or look to him. Shout for joy. Shout praises to God. Why? Because of the problem? Well, no. Because our trust is in the Almighty. We're there under the shadow of his wings, right? We aren't controlled by these things of the baser sort, the lower world, the senses, evidence. Our standard is something completely different. Our desire is to live in the realm of the miraculous, not down here. See, it's to get up there. Psalm 63. So rich, so full. Psalm 63. I'll read a little bit from the Amplified here. It says, O God, you are my God. Earnestly will I seek you. My inner self thirsts for you. My flesh longs and is faint for you in a dry and weary land where no water is. So I have looked upon you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory, because your loving kindness is better than life. My lips, my heart, my desire is to do praise to you, God, because you're it. I love you with all my heart, all my soul, all my mind, all my strength. You're it. Verse 4, so will I bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. My whole being shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. When I remember you upon my bed and meditate upon you in the night watches, for you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings will I rejoice. Oh, man, so awesome. So what does it mean to dwell under the shadow of his wing? A shadow is what? It's a shade, right? It's a protection from the heat of the sun or the sun. It's also a border between light and dark. We are either in the shadow of something or we're not. So in the same way, there are definite borders or limits within with which we must stay if we are to remain under the shadow of God's wings. That is, under his protection against the world, against the enemy. When we're outside in the summertime, we can choose to stand in the shade or the shadow of a tree, or we can choose to walk back out into the full and direct sunlight. One place will generally be a lot cooler than the other, right? And will offer much more protection against the damaging rays of the sun than the other. That is the way it is with God. As long as we choose to remain under the shadow of his wings, we will be much more comfortable and much better protected against danger than when we choose to walk out from underneath those wings. A border is an intermediate area or boundary between two qualities or conditions. We can choose to live under one set of conditions or under a different set of conditions. The wise thing is to not only to choose to stay under the shadow of the Almighty, but to take up permanent residence there. Don't just go for a visit. Move in. We want to stay there, abide there, dwell there. See? You know how comfortable it is to, like, you know, you're on a trip or whatever, you're here, and then, you know, sometimes you just feel like you want to go home. Because there's something that happens when you're, like, you're in your own space, your own home, you're comfortable, your things are there, whatever. God's asking us to take up permanent residence under the shadow of his wing, so that we're at home with God. When we drive down the highway, as long as we stay within the dividing lines between lanes and obey the signposts along the road, we are in much less danger of being involved in an accident than if we ignore those boundaries and instructions. Those lines and signs are put there for our benefit and for our instruction and protection. In the spiritual realm, the lines and signs that keep us on the way of the Lord and out of danger are trust and confidence. As long as we place our trust and confidence in the Lord, he will keep us under the shadow of his wings and protect us from all danger and harm. Unbelievable. Look at Philippians chapter 6, verse 4. Chapter 4, verse 6, I mean. Probably sit here, we could probably just quote it, wouldn't even have to look it up, right? But we will anyway. Philippians chapter 4. King James says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ. Okay. There are opportunities for you and I to get anxious in this world, to become full of worry, full of concern, full of doubt, full of wondering, full of all this stuff. But yet the directive of God's word says, don't be anxious about anything. Well, what a contrast. Amplified version says, do not fret or have anxiety about anything, but in every circumstance and in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to God. And God's peace shall be yours. That tranquil state of a soul assured of its salvation through Christ, and so fearing nothing from God and being content with its earthly lot of whatever sort that is, that peace which transcends all understanding shall garrison and mount guard over your hearts and mind in Christ, abiding under the shadow of his wings. Ah, a place of rest. Man, a place of shelter. A place where we can go and just like, ah, I'm home. First Peter 5, 6, and 7, you know, it talks about casting our care upon God because he cares for you. I think actually in the beginning it says, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God. Cast all your care upon him, for he cares for you. So, you know, it must be some type of correlation between humility and humbleness and casting your care. Unless you just want to keep them on yourself and just figure them out how to deal with it. You know, we're failures at that. We're not good at that. We aren't. We've tried, many of us, try to figure out how to relieve us ourselves of all of this stuff. And all of a sudden, the peace is gone. Rest is gone. It's all anxiety. It's worry. It's working, trying to figure out how to resolve this thing. Maybe I'll just quit watching TV. You know, I'll get a rule in place in my life somehow, and that'll fix it. Try to regulate the flesh somehow, maybe, to get some sort of spiritual fruit to come. Happens. It happens all the time. We've done it. To bring some sort of legalism into our lives to try to get us closer to God. Fascinating. Oh my gosh. How about Proverbs 3, 5, and 6? Talks about trusting in God, right? Psalms, Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 3. Yeah, I hear you. Got it. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Nice verse of scripture to quote. Nice verse of scripture to know. Nice verse of scripture to look at. But how about the application of it? We sit here and talk about trusting God and how wonderful it is all day long. But when you walk out that door, it's a whole different world. How real is this Bible to you when you leave here and your kids are, and you're in traffic and there's all these things going on? What does it do to you? What kind of person do you become? Is it different maybe than in your heart what you really want to be seeing happen? Look, if the peace begins to go or it's lost, it is a sure sign that you have moved out of and from underneath the shadow of the Almighty. We have started to worry, fret, to get anxious, trying to figure it out in our own self. And we forget to cast our care. One of the simplest things that God just almost begs us. Cast your cares. Do it. And somehow we forget. We get talked out of it. We get distracted. Well, you know what time it is then? It's time to regroup. That's not time to just condemn ourselves and kick our own behinds all the way from now until the return. I mean, most of us have spent enough time doing that. I'm tired of doing that. I want to abide. I want to dwell in the shadow of the Almighty. I want peace, rest, comfort. God's love, goodness. See, because when I'm receiving those things, those are the things I'm reflecting out. That's the way, those are the things I'm just sometimes even unconsciously giving away. But it's time to regroup. It's time to move back under His care, His provision, His protection. Put things back into perspective. Look at Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, verse 31. Matthew 6:31 says, "Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father, He knows they have need of all these things." Verse 33 states, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Those same verses in the Amplified say, "Therefore, do not worry and be anxious, saying, what are we going to eat? What are we going to have to drink? What are we going to have to wear?" The Gentiles wish and crave and diligently seek all these things. Your Heavenly Father knows well that you need them all. But seek, aim at, strive after, first of all, His kingdom and His righteousness, His way of doing things. And then all these things taken together will be given to you besides. You see, in verse 32, Jesus Christ assures us that our Heavenly Father knows all the things that we have need of and that He has promised to provide them for us. Remember, this is Jesus teaching this stuff. He assures us that God knows. Question is then, why worry about it? In verse 33, Jesus gives us the key to living in the peace of God. We're to seek first God's kingdom and His righteousness, and then all these other things will be given to us as well. In other words, the reason we worry and fret and live in anxiety and fear is simply because we have the wrong priorities. We are seeking security in the things of this world rather than in the Creator of the world. Oh, my Lord. Doing. Priorities. Priorities. Now listen to this. As the body of Christ, we are supposed to seek God, not the answer to our problems. How about that? The Word of God encourages us. It doesn't say here, seek God so you can get all your questions answered and all your problems fixed. It says, seek God. Love God with all your heart, soul, and mind and strength. See? If we seek Him and His righteousness, He has promised to provide all the answers that we need. We spend too much time seeking things and not enough time seeking God. Nowhere in the Word of God are we told to spend all of our time seeking the perfect mate, or a happy home, or a successful career, or even a successful ministry. Though God wants us to have all these good things, instead we are told to seek God and His righteousness, trusting Him to provide all these other things He knows we need in accordance with His divine plan and timing. Oh my gosh. Oh, take a deep breath. Our place of rest, it is in abiding under the shadow of the Almighty. Psalm 18. Psalm 18, verse 1. It says, "I will love Thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. Those same verses in the Amplified say, I love you fervently and devotedly, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my keen and firm strength in whom I will trust and take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is to be praised, so I shall be saved from mine enemy. You see, the psalmist says that God is everything he needs, his Lord, his keen and firm strength, his rock, his fortress, his deliverer, his shield, the horn of salvation, his high tower. In Psalm 61:2, which we won't look at, he calls God the rock that is higher than I. In Psalm 62:2, he says of the Lord, He only is my rock and my salvation, my defense, my fortress. I shall not be greatly moved. See? That's because God is our rock. He's our fortress. He's our strength. God is our everything. Without God, we just crumble. You see, David said God only was his rock and fortress. And honestly, that should be our testimony too. A rock of security should not be God plus something else, but God only. A rock is a type of sure foundation. When the waters of trial threaten to rise up and overwhelm us, we need to do as David did and climb up on the rock that is higher than we are. David also called the Lord his fortress. Well, what is a fortress? It's a castle. It's a fort. It's a defense. It's a place into which we go when we are being hunted or attacked. It is not a hiding place, as we have discussed earlier, in which our enemy cannot find us. It is a place of protection in which we can see and be seen but cannot be reached because we are safe in God's protection. It's like being in a spiritual bubble. You know, that you can't get through. It's impenetrable. You know? We can be seen by the enemy, but we're under God's protective covering, his shadow. He can't get to us. David also called the Lord his high tower, another lofty and inaccessible place. And his shield and his buckler, which are part of the protective armor that surrounds the believer, according to Ephesians chapter 6. In Psalm 125, we'll look at that real quickly in closing. Psalm 125. Verse 1 and 2. Actually, that's the only verses in this psalm. They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about his people from henceforth, even forever. And again, the Amplified says, those who trust in, lean on, and confidently hope in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides and stands fast forever. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about his people from this time forth and forever. Wow. He's just not above us. He's just not below us. He's around us. He's even underneath us. God is holding us up by his powerful right hand and surrounding us as the mountains would surround the holy city of Jerusalem. The devil's against us, but God is for us. Now you decide. Who's more powerful? You know, something who tries to deceive and talk us into something that's fleshly and worldly and trying to do something in our own strength. See? But God's, he's for us. He's over us. He's with us. He's in us. And He cares for us. He watches over us and keeps us so we can find rest and peace under the shadow of His wings as we cast all of His care upon Him. Who, what Christian person would not want that kind of relationship? That's what it's all about. Your intimate relationship and fellowship with the Almighty God. You see. And as we pray this week and as we think about the things of God's Word, please remember that grace is God's ability and power that's given freely to help us do what we can't do in our own strength. But it helps us to accomplish that which God would have to be done. There are things that are way beyond our ability to get accomplished. See? That's what grace is all about. It's God's power and ability coming into manifestation freely to help us accomplish that which God desires. That's what God wants to get accomplished. Talk about a supernatural way to live. See? Living in the realm of the miraculous. See? Peace. Rest. It's our place of rest. It's where we rightfully belong and live and desire to dwell in so we can just function from there. See? Function from there. So we remember that God is for us. See? And as I open this teaching, I'll close it in the same way. It's that it's important for us to be refreshed, and it's important for us to be strengthened. And it's important for us to be peaceful in the midst of our day-to-day lives. And you know, and I know, that sometimes that's a challenge. Because there are so many opportunities to get distracted. But go home. Live under that shadow, that perfect place, that secret place, that resting place. We cast our cares upon God Almighty. Yeah, that's what He's so good at. See? Because our desire is to be changed from what we are to what He wants us to be. See? And that occurs only, really, when we spend that time necessary in the secret place. What does that mean, spending time there? Could mean a lot of different things. Could be singing praises. Could be praying. Could be reading the Word. Could be reading a book, could be listening to praise music, could be jumping around and, whatever. You know what? Guess what? No one's watching you. It's just you and God. You can do whatever you want. So, there's a lot of freedom in being able to do that. You talk to God. You guys ask God things. I mean, what could you possibly ask God that's so foolish that God would just, I couldn't entertain that. Hey, believe me, God knows everything about you anyway, inside and out and upside down, so there's nothing you can surprise God with, So, I think we just have to maybe learn to be more honest and open in developing a relationship with God, because that's ultimately what it comes down to when you're out in the street, when you're sitting behind the desk, when you're behind the wheel of your car, when you're wherever you are, you want to have that understanding and knowledge that you have a place of rest and it goes with you everywhere you go. Okay? Heavenly Father, thank you for this loving, gracious, and fabulous Word. And for the Lord Jesus Christ that gave Himself on our behalf, Father, that we could just be so abundantly blessed. And for these truths of Your Word, Father, that we see and get greater understanding of, I pray that, Father, we move in and we move all our furnishings in and all of our CDs and all of our clothes and everything else, and that we have no intention of moving out, and that we can just be so committed to casting our care upon You, Father, and being quiet in the turmoil of life, to hear You and get the right direction and see the fulfillments of your promises. And so I pray about these things, God. Thank you for the truth of your word, which is just so incredibly rich. And somehow we have gotten to have the privilege of being able to just even open the Bible and to understand a little bit about your grace and mercy and your love for us. So thank you, Lord, for each and every heart that's here and for the importance of their lives as they take the light of your word and the light of Christ everywhere they go. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. God bless.